Welcome. My name is Roland. Today's program is it's about life. Let's talk about life, shall we? Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sure that you know by now, no matter how old you are, that life is that we're not just animals. We are not just like monkeys or sheep or cows. We have a soul. We have there's something special about people. Something that we have a beyond. Okay? Now, if we live life like animals, in other words, if you get too caught up in the things of the world, if you get too caught up in study and texting and partying and relationships and work. Not that work is wrong. We all have to work. Work can be a great blessing, and can have fulfilling, modestly fulfilling, as long as you don't make it too important. See, we mustn't make anything too important. We mustn't make anything more important than what we know in our heart is right. The moment you stand back from some involvement and you see that you've made it too important, that you're getting caught up in it, that it's not healthy for you. See, the moment you stand back, the moment you snap out of it, in other words, in that moment you're already making touch with the transcendent dimension. You're already making touch with the beyond. See, something beyond. So let's see if I can clarify that for you. I'll give you a couple of examples. Have you ever had a situation where somebody suddenly became very ill? Maybe they were in a hospital. Your mom, your dad, a good friend, someone close to you, your grandma, someone. And they were, or a friend of yours got hurt in an accident or something. And all of a sudden, you know, and you're worried. You want them to get well. See? And all of a sudden, you realize that all these other little things that you were all caught up with, you know, what color shoes will I put on, and what will I have for lunch, and, you know, studying for some exam or something, you see that they're all not that important. They pale into insignificance in comparison with what's really important in life. You see what I mean? Or sometimes we have a close call. Sometimes a person will have a heart attack or a near, be almost killed somehow, you know, lost in the wilderness and dying of exposure. And then all of a sudden they're rescued and they come back to life and they survive the close call. See, a lot of times people, you know, survive a close call, and then all of a sudden it puts everything in perspective. All the little things that they had been so concerned about. See, that's why some people, after a heart attack, they have a heart attack, a big scare, or cancer or something, and they're much better after that. Much better. They're better people. They live life better. They enjoy life more because now they've put things into perspective. They don't get so, you know, what was the book? It was said, don't sweat the small stuff. Well, we all tend to sweat the small stuff. See? That's why sometimes grandparents, a good grandparent can have a very nice influence. It's a good grandparent. See, nowadays a lot of grandparents are what? Smoking marijuana, and, you know, going to the gambling casino. That's not good. But let's say you have a good grandparent. Well, a good grandparent can be a very good influence because they've been around for a while, so they know that the old expression, this too shall pass. They know this too shall pass, so they don't get all excited and angry and upset over little things. So moms and dads tend to run around, oh my God, you know, with the children, right? They run around and say, oh my God, you know, make a big issue over every little thing. And grandma and grandpa says, don't worry, you know. Because they get the big picture. They have things in perspective. So whenever you stand back, see, and see that you've been making something too important, as you stand back from what you were making too important, as you stand back, you reconnect with what you know in your heart. You reconnect with your inner ground of being, which actually is an extension of the beyond. See? So now can you see? So, and it's that standing back. See? It mitigates things. I'll never forget, I'm trying to remember the situation. Oh, yes, there was a teacher. I was a little kid. I was like 6 years old, and I don't know. Yeah, I was 6 years old. There was going to be a birthday party. I was invited to my very first birthday party I was ever invited to after school. And so that day I was all giddy and excited because I was going to go to the birthday party, and I didn't do the math, you know, some kind of math we were supposed to do in class. I didn't do it, so the teacher made me stay after. That's the very first time and the only time I ever had to stay after. But what a horrible coincidence it would be the very day that there was a birthday party that was going to start right after school. My mom was going to come to pick me up in the car and take me to the birthday party. So my mom was outside in the car waiting for me, and there I was, and I had to do the teacher made me stay to do the test afterwards, and then I broke into tears. And I started to sob, and the teacher said, "What are you crying?" And I told her about the birthday party and everything, and I saw the teacher's face soften. Her face softened, and she said, "Well, all right. Well, in the future, you know, be sure to do your math during class, so go ahead and enjoy the birthday party." And then she let me go. See, in that moment, when I began to cry, suddenly, in that moment, her heart was softened, and she realized, see, that I was basically a good kid, never had done anything wrong, that I was just all excited that day because of the birthday party. You see what I mean? So it's a very wonderful thing when a person reconnects with that their inner ground of good. They're connecting with good, with goodness, with patience, with love, with understanding, with kindness, with courage. See? They're reconnecting with all that is good within. See, now if you were to live your whole life that way, see, if you were to for every moment to be connected to the within, that's the way Jesus lived, you see. Every moment he was connected to that inner good. So for every moment he stood back from every moment. He never made anything too important other than what he knew in his heart. What he knew in his heart was most important. But look at us. What happens to us? See, we get caught up in things. See, from one moment to the next. See, we're 1 minute we're caught up in some dreaming, thinking of the past. The next minute we're thinking of the future, what we're going to do. See, so we're lost in the past and lost in the future. We don't live in the present, where reality is, where we can touch, when we can make contact with that inner ground of good. See? And then we get caught up in things on the outside, caught up in our texting and study and surfing the internet, in shopping, in eating, see? Caught up in with our friends, we're caught up in all kinds of things, see? There's a way of going through life, being in the world but not of the world. There's a way of going through life where you're, where you can be a friend, a student, a worker, a mom, a dad, see what I mean? A citizen. We can do all the things and derive some pleasure from them, some satisfaction from them, a modest amount, not too much, modest amount. And you can have the joy of doing things and having recreation and enjoy all the things of life, see? But without getting too deeply into them, without getting caught up in them, see? And pulled away from that inner ground of good. see? And so you go through life lightly, like a butterfly, like a ballerina floating across the stage. See? You have a light touch. But what happens to us is, see, we get caught up in things. See, something becomes too important. There's so many ways that it can happen. But it happens to us naturally. See, we humans, with our ego, the way we come into the world, with our fallen nature, see, and the way things are in the world, it's just we almost can't help it. And when we're little kids, we're emotional. When we're little kids, we're very emotional. We get caught up in every little thing. Then we get lost in our imagination. See, it's perfectly natural for little kids to get too caught up in things. See, or become too emotional. That's very typical, and it's natural. That's the way egos are, and that's the purpose of good parents and authorities, to be there to guard, watch the little children, make sure they're safe. See, make sure they don't get caught up. When the little children are playing late, and I say, well, it's time to go to bed now. They don't want to go to bed. They don't want to get to bed. They want to keep playing. But the parent knows that if they keep playing, they're going to get too tired. See, they're going to get too excited. Something's going to happen. They're going to fall down or something and get hurt and start crying. See, they can see the child is going to overdo it. So the parent says, time to go to bed. Let's go to bed. Because the parent knows, see, that there has to be some little boundaries put on the child's exuberance and getting caught up in things. See, you know, the parent knows that the child would eat too much ice cream. If, for example, you could give the child all the ice cream that it wanted, and they would eat and eat and eat, and pretty soon would get sick. The child would get sick. See, the parent knows that, so the parent allows the child to enjoy ice cream, but only so much. You know, not too much. Only so much. You got the idea? See what I mean? Kids would eat candy all the time. That's why there has to be limits on the amount of candy. See what I mean? And part of growing up is as we grow up and we become teens and then young adults and adults, we learn to moderate our own practices. We know that too much, if you overdo things, then the next day you'll have a headache. See? The next day you won't feel good. The next day you'll be all puffy. See? So we know we have to, you know, we won't feel good. So we don't want to overdo anything. Not to eat too much, not exercise too much, not anything too much. See, and everything in moderation, as Aristotle said, okay? All right, so now you see how we as egos, immature egos, we just get caught up in everything too much. And when we're teenagers, we think, if I'm not invited to the prom, then if the person's not invited to the prom, then they cry and cry and cry. It's like the end of the world, see? But the parent knows. The parent knows it's not the end of the world, see? And then eventually one day the child is invited to the prom, and someday she meets a boy, and then someday she gets married. And see, it all works out. It's not the end of the world if you're not invited to the prom by one particular boy. You see what I mean? All right. So now you understand how little children get too caught up in things. Little children, for example, they might want some present for Christmas, maybe, and if they don't get the present, then they're all, you know, they cry and all that kind of stuff. They make it too important. That's just the way kids are. Parents are more mature. They know that not to make things too important. But you see what happens is, if you look at yourself, you'll see that even as an adult, things become too important in that they capture your attention. See, one minute you're there, you know, you're safely driving down the freeway and you're very aware, checking your mirrors and looking around and being alert. And the next minute you're lost in a daydream. You're thinking about what somebody said to you. See, and then you drive right past the exit you should have taken because you weren't paying attention. See, you get caught up in the thoughts of the past. Or you start planning for the future, planning and scheming, and then you're lost there, see? Or somebody says something to you and it makes you angry and upset, then you keep thinking over in your mind, why did they say that to me? I'll get even with them. See what I mean? You get caught up in something that upset you. See? Or some good news comes along and you get too excited about it, you get caught up in that. None of these things are not good to get too caught up in anything. You know, there was recently a story of a young lady that was couple of young ladies were walking along the railroad tracks, near the railroad tracks. Shouldn't have been near the railroad tracks in the first place, but maybe they weren't walking along the railroad tracks. Maybe they were just crossing the railroad tracks. I can't remember. But anyway, a train was coming, so one lady dropped her cell phone on the track. And she went back to get her cell phone, see? And then she got hit by the train and she was killed. So first of all, you know, they should have seen the train coming a long time ahead and then gotten over. Maybe they weren't paying attention. And then it was the last minute. Maybe they shouldn't have crossed that last minute. They should have just waited. They made it too important to get across the track, see? And then after that, in a hurry, she dropped her cell phone, and then she made the cell phone too important. It wasn't that important. She should have just waited. It wasn't going to get run over anyway. It was just laying probably between the rails or something, and just wait a few minutes till the train's gone, then go back and get her phone. But she made the phone too important. Too important. See? So a lot of us, as we go through life, we make something too important. We get caught up in it. See? And it leads to tragedy. How many people have gotten caught up with some person that was not good for them? See? Caught up with a person for weeks, months, even years. See? A person who misleads them, hurts them, maybe their life may be even destroyed. They can even be killed by getting caught up with the wrong person. See? Or people get caught up with the wrong people, the wrong cause, the wrong group. Get caught up with a gang. Get caught up with a crazy idea. See? Get caught up, fanatically caught up with some nutty idea. Now, a lot of people, see, are involved. Let me recapitulate. If for every moment you can stand back, see, I'm not saying that you won't get suddenly lost in a thought of the past. Okay, you're thinking about the past, or you're thinking about the future, or you're thinking about what somebody said to you. See, or here's some idea, you're getting caught up. Somebody's saying something, you're caught up in it. Okay, so then you catch yourself caught up in it. You catch yourself and then you stand back, mentally stand back. Okay, if you could learn to do that your whole life, then you would be safe, you would always be safe. Because if you were getting a little bit too caught up in something, even a daydream, you would snap out of it. Something would make you snap out of it. You would keep snapping out. And if there were wrong ideas, see, let's say it was a wrong person or a wrong idea, see, and temporarily we're buying into the wrong idea, see? See, a lot of things, there are a lot of ideas that makes a difference whether they're true or not, or good or not, see, whether they're false, makes a difference, see? A lot of ideas having to do with our health, with our choices in life, with what we believe or disbelieve, with who we follow, see, with our choices. You think it's important to know whether something is true or false and whether it's good or bad. And if you're caught up with it emotionally, excitedly, just like the child is caught up with ice cream, he wants more ice cream or he wants more candy, he can't see that it's not good for him. He just can't see it. Or some young lady that's caught up with some rotten guy, she can't see that he's not good for her. See? She can't see it. Other people can see it, but she can't. She's hypnotically and emotionally caught up with it. Sometimes people get caught up with a wrong idea, see? Then they become proselytizers of the idea, pushers of the idea, believers in the idea, see? A crazy idea even, a nutty idea, an idea that's not good for them, that's not good for society. They get caught up with it, and they become like zombies or fanatics, see? So it's very important that we can always stand back instead of rushing to get the cell phone that was dropped on the railroad tracks. We stand back, let the danger pass. See, instead of getting caught up with something, somebody comes along and said, "Hey, let's all at 10 o'clock at night. Here comes a car filled with kids." They say, "Hey, let's all go somewhere." Something tells you, "No, better not. It's not safe." "No, no, thank you. I've got to study." See, "Oh, come on, come on, come on. No, Mom says I can't. See what I mean? Even if you get up. Maybe Mom didn't say anything, but you make it up because you somehow sense you're not supposed to go. Somehow your sense. See that beyond I talked about, what you know in your heart, that your intuition? We call that wordless intuition. Somehow you sense from it not to go, so you don't go. So then the kids all go out in the car at 10 o'clock at night, and then later on you hear they got into a big car wreck, see? So you were lucky that you didn't go. See? All right. So it's very important to be able to stand back, get perspective, stand back, mentally stand back, not get too caught up in anything. That way you're safe. See, if you're riding on the bus or on a streetcar, you're riding on the bus or the streetcar, if you get too caught up in texting, or you get too caught up in reading some article, you're all lost in texting, or you're so lost in reading the article that somebody comes up and pickpockets you because you're not aware. See what I mean? They can sneak up on you because you don't have awareness. So you have to learn to do things lightly. Read lightly, listen to people lightly, see? Live, have a light touch. See, go through life like a ballerina. See, go through life like a ballerina, not getting too deeply into anything. So you can take or leave anything. Take it or leave it. You can take or leave the ice cream or the donut or the candy or the cake or the extra serving or too much work or too much ice cream or some person come along or some idea. You can take it or leave it. See, you can defer. You can wait. You can say no. See, that's the power, that power of awareness, the power of that beyond, that you can reach within to that beyond. And from it, you also get courage. See, how many times you hear about some situation where somebody's in danger and here comes somebody and rescues them. Somebody rushes in, risks their own life, and rescues the other person. And then afterwards, the person is said to be a hero, see, and receives all kinds of awards and everything. And the person said, well, I don't feel like a hero. I just saw something that needed to be done, and I just did it. See, in that moment, he didn't stop and second guess and think and plan and scheme and worry. He did what he knew was right in his heart. He rushed to help someone. See? See how that works? So a lot of times, see, so it can be either of two things then. It can be doing what you know is right in your heart, helping someone, saying a kind word. See, doing the right thing. See, it means not doing the wrong thing. More often than not, see, a lot of times there's nothing we need to do other than not go the wrong way. Not going the wrong way is going the right way. Not getting in the car with the kids that are going out late at night. Not smoking the marijuana. Not having the premarital sex. See, not drinking, see, not doing something that somebody tells you to do that you just sense is somehow not right to do, see, not saying something mean, not resenting, see, not resenting someone, just letting it pass, not reaching for the cell phone that you dropped on the railroad tracks, see how that works? Not doing something is very often, by not doing the wrong thing, then you're safe. The moment passes and you're safe. See? Now that's the reason for the meditation. All these years I've always talked about the meditation that I have. And basically what it is, it helps you to reconnect with that inner ground of good. See? In certain times and places in our life, we stand back. See? We have a sober feeling, a somber feeling. Something tells us, no, don't go with those other people. See, we have a sense not to do something wrong. Okay? All right. Well, that's good. But we should be connected with that inner beyond all the time. See, that's what we needed from our father. We needed him to have a connection with the inner ground. But the problem is he was too caught up in the world. See, he was too externalized. So the problem is once we become externalized, and what we'll begin to depend on the outside, and then we begin to look to the outside and to depend on it and become addicted to it and to become enslaved by it. It's hypnotic. See? Okay? So you become enslaved. So a lot of people are sexaholics, see, or they're workaholics, or they're even churchaholics, or they're some kind of caholics. There's, you know, they just have to do something. They become totally dependent on it. See, they're ever in recovery. They're ever having to go to their doctor appointments. They're ever having to keep going back over and over again to something. See, they can't say no. So whether it's a lottery ticket, or whether it's pornography, whether it's eating too much, whether it's getting involved with the wrong kind of people, see, whether it's being too ambitious, whether it's studying too much, see, whether it's being a people pleaser, see, and always doing for other people when it would be better if you said no, see, all of these things you'll see that there's some sort of excessive involvement on the outside. And what it does, it takes you away from that inner perspective. So if a person gets too caught up in study, too caught up in a church, too caught up in a school, too caught up with some person, too caught up in some activity, even an activity that seems on the surface okay. You know, going to church seems okay, or working, you know, that seems okay, or exercising seems okay. But if it becomes too important, then it becomes hypnotic. And it takes you away from your inner ground of good. It takes you away from that inner ground. Okay? So, like I said, it's okay to exercise. It's okay to work. See, it's okay to meet somebody and get married. And all of these things are okay. It's okay to enjoy, you know, meals and exercise. All these things are okay. Like we said, with moderation, of course. But just don't make them too important. Don't ever forget what's right in your heart. Okay? All right. Now we're going to take a little break right here, a little break. So now you can see that life is very simple. Life is very simple, and it can be very sweet. But the secret to having this sweet and simple life, this noble life, is to reconnect with your own inner ground of good, to reconnect with your own intuition, your own, let's call it, common sense. See, someone who's caught up with some, let's say you see somebody that's caught up with some guy, he's no good for her. Everybody can see he's no good for her, but she's caught up with him, see? So she loses what? She loses common sense. She loses perspective, see? She makes this person who's no good for her, too important, see? And she's all caught up in that. She won't listen to reason. Try to talk to her. So a lot of parents, you know, they send their kids off to school, and before long the kid gets involved in a peer group, and before long the peer group is probably some rotten leader of the peer group, and before long, you know, you discover that your kid is smoking marijuana or something like that. See, and if you try to mention it, then the child acts like you're the enemy, you're the bad person. See, he loves his friend, his rotten friend. See, he will defend, and you, he will curse and say you're mean and terrible. See? So when somebody gets caught up, like when a child or a teenager gets caught up with the wrong people, it can be very difficult to separate them from those untoward influences. You will need strength. You will need courage. You will need to be firm, solidly grounded yourself, so you don't doubt yourself. You will need calmness. See, if you start yelling and screaming, you'll just drive the child further away. See, on the other hand, saying, well, that's okay, or putting your head in the sand like the proverbial ostrich and pretending everything's okay, or justifying where they're all doing it, they're all having premarital sex, and they're all getting sexual diseases, and they're all taking drugs and smoking marijuana. And see, if you rationalize it, see, then you too then become an extension of the wrong. See, so you need to be able to separate the child from the wrong, but it has to be done without histrionics, without emotions. It has to be done calmly, see, but firmly. Firmly but calmly. So you better make sure that you are very solidly grounded yourself, that you are connected with that inner ground of good, because otherwise you'll doubt yourself, or you'll try to use emotion. You'll become emotional. And when you become emotional, the emotions separate you from your inner ground of good. See, when you do so, when you are connected with that, with something deep, see, when your roots go deep into that good, see, then what you do, you become an extension of that good. You become an extension of the source of that good. See, you're backed up, but you've got a little bit of heaven backing you up. See, you have a tremendous force, a tremendous spiritual force backing you up. See? And so you're solid. You're very, very solid. See? But if it's just you and you become emotional, your emotions separate you from your inner ground of good. See? Remember we said little kids, they become emotionally caught up in things that they make too important. See how emotions will then connect you to the external error. Connects you to the external error. Makes you yourself. And then you will have you won't have this strength, this quiet strength that's to back you up. See? Then you'll try to do things, your timing will be wrong. You won't say it quite right. You'll be too strong or too weak. Timing will be off. See, it won't work. It might even backfire. So therefore, it's good to be solidly grounded. I can't emphasize the importance of more than I do of the meditation. It's just so important. It's a very simple little way. It teaches you how to become still. See, now you're like in a washing machine going round and round in your thoughts and emotions. Thoughts and emotions, memories of the past, thoughts of the future, worries, doubts, fears, see, and emotions. So you need to be able to become still. So your soul is still connected with your inner ground of good. And so you get a little perspective on things, see. Standing back, you have a little perspective. Okay? All right, so you see how important the meditation is. So you need a little help. See, most people are so lost in their thinking, they don't even know how to get started. Well, how do I get started to reconnect with this inner ground of good? How do I stand back? Well, that's why you get the meditation, because it'll show you how to do it right away. In 5 minutes, you can learn how to do it. It's that simple. Okay? All right. So now let's go over the ground one more time. I want to give this example. It's not an example that I came up with, but I heard and is very good, and it makes sense, and I understand it. Okay, and it'll help you too. See, there's two ways of watching a movie. One way of watching, let's say you go to a movie theater and you're sitting in the seat. The one way of watching a movie, which is not good, is you get all caught up in the movie. Before long, you forget yourself. You lose your identity. You get so caught up in the movie that you're oblivious to everything happening around you, and you're totally lost in the movie. Well, that's the way most people live their lives. See? But there's another way of watching the movie, and that's you're in your seat, and there's the movie, and you watch light. You kind of stand back. You're watching the movie, okay? But you also notice somebody next to you eating popcorn. Over there, somebody's walking to their seat. See, you look around. You see the people. You're still in the moment. You feel yourself in the seat. There are your hands. There are your feet on the floor. See, and you watch the movie lightly. So you can still enjoy the movie. Still follow the plot, still laugh at the jokes and so on, but you're just not deeply into the movie. See what I mean? So that's the way to live life, to always pull back. See? And incidentally, that's how you're saying, that's also, it also is a practical safety thing too. Like I said, you don't want to be too lost in things. See, if there's a mugger and he's watching two people walk down the street, one of them is kind of aware and alert and looking around. Then another one is all lost in thought and their head is down and they're lost in their texting, see, or lost in thinking. Which one is the mugger going to go for? See, they're going to go for the one they can sneak up on who's totally unaware. See what I mean? So awareness is a great protection. A lot of parents, see, parents that you hear situations of a parent talking on the cell phone. Parent is talking on the cell phone, meanwhile the child drowns in the swimming pool. See what I mean? But the aware parent is not too lost in the cell phone, not lost in making anything too important, and somehow senses to be with the child. See, first of all, to be with the child and to be very aware. Oh, I've got to check on my child. You see what I mean? So you see how important that is to be, that awareness is so important. See? All right. So now you've got the idea. All right. Very good. Well, I'd like to make an end to this little program. Please listen to it again. It's a very good program. And get the meditation. Get some of my books. They'll be very helpful to help you to live mindfully. See, I want to say something about mindfulness. See, mindfulness meditation, it's good. You hear about it quite a bit. Mindfulness or that type of meditation, that's all right to be mindful. That's good. The other meditations that talk about visualizing, you know, being lost in visualizing and imagining yourself floating around a boat somewhere in a beautiful lake and so on. It all it does is pull you into your daydreams. See, it pulls you away from reality. That's not good. We don't want to be there. We don't want to be lost in unreality. We want to be mindful. We want to be in the present, connected to that inner ground of good, in the present. And so mindfulness is good, but I would just say that what you need also is to sense, see, that somehow God is involved. See what I mean? So what you need is mindfulness plus. Mindfulness is okay, but you need a little something extra, and that's the idea. God has to be involved somehow, see? Now, I see how I mention it very, very delicately, because there are a lot of people out there that are hypnotically caught up in Christianity. See, they're caught up in Christianity, and they are also hypnotized and externalized, and they're disconnected from their inner ground of good, which is from God. See, they're disconnected from God by being caught up in the external trappings of religiosity. See how that works? So it's very dangerous, because they think that everything's wonderful. They think they're marching off to heaven, but actually they're being led away from where God is. See, within, communicates within wordlessly through our intuition. See what I mean? All right. So I say it very delicately. So if you get to meditation, start to meditate. You know, you don't have to say any prayers or affirmations or anything. Just quietly know that, you know, that somehow God is involved, okay? Because he's our Heavenly Father, okay? And you say, well, I don't know for sure, and I'm not a believer, and I don't know about God and so on. Well, that's fair. You're being honest. But just know that, just be open to a spiritual dimension that includes a creator, which would be nice if he were our Heavenly Father and he were there and he loved us and he gave us awareness, see? And he loved the sweet things that we loved when we were children, see? Well, then that would be nice, wouldn't it? So let's leave it at that. Just in your mind say, well, that would be very nice. And I will see when I'm very aware, when I become very, very aware, not lost in thinking, not caught up in ideas, see, whether seemingly positive or negative, not caught up in any ideas, okay, then I will see what is true for myself, okay? So let's go over the ground one more time. Awareness is, I was going to say awareness is your greatest possession. I guess we could say that's true. your soul is your greatest possession. Or you could say God's favor is your greatest possession. But a lot of us, we're living at a very low level. We don't have God's favor. We don't have God's favor because of the way we're living. We're a little sneaky, we're a little dishonest, we're selfish, we're cowardly. There's something phony about our existence. See, we don't love other people. We hate them. We resent them. We judge them. See, even our people in our own family, we're not patient with them. We judge them. See, kids, we're impatient with them and so on. So we really need to, we need to be upgraded, but we can't upgrade ourselves. See, ourselves, the way we are, the way our ego is constituted, we avoid an encounter with the truth. See? So, in order to get into God's good graces, and in order to get better, see, you have to be willing to accept the truth. Okay? And the truth is a little painful when we see how wrong we have been. See, when we see how wrong we have been, it's a bit painful, very painful. But see it, you must. Now that's why repentance, you know, in the Bible it talks about repentance as a first step, see, toward getting better, toward salvation. Repentance is, and what is repentance? Repentance is seeing the truth, admitting the truth, and being sorry about what you see. And realizing that you can't change yourself. It's kind of a helpless sadness. You see that you're wrong, but you realize that you can't save yourself. You've always tried. You've tried to save face. You've tried to make yourself good. See? Mostly by parading in front of other people and putting on an act for them. See? And when you realize that you can't make yourself good and all you can do is see that you're wrong and admit that you're wrong and be sorry. That's the beginning of repentance. It's an inside thing. It's not for other people. It's within, in your own heart. You quietly go in your room and become very still. Get to meditation. Learn how to become still. And then the truth will begin to dawn upon you. See, and if you can bear the truth, if you can sit there and grit your teeth and sweat big drops of blood, you know, and suffer the realizing of the truth, suffer coming in contact with the truth, see, then you can get started. So now you see why people don't get better. It's because they avoid the truth. You know, even people that are involved in rehabilitation of drug addicts and so forth, they always tell you that the drug addict is not really going to get better until he sees that he has a problem. Until he honestly admits that he has a problem. Until that point, he's in denial. See? But what is denial? Why are people in denial? Because everybody's in denial. See? You don't have to take to deny. You can eat to deny, work to deny. You can go to church to deny. You can sing nice songs to deny. You can act nice in public to deny. All to put on an act and pretend that you're a wonderful person. See? And protect your pride. Your pride, or protect pride, which is living in you and through you. See, the devil lives through people. When people are prideful, when people are impatient, see, when people are phony and mean and judgmental and hate each other and so on and so forth, it's the devil living through them. That's right, he lives through them. They do unto each other, see, and he waxes strong and he laughs when he sees people judging and hating other people and abusing other people. See? All right. So now you see that meditation is the key to getting back in touch with the truth again. So there's, see, so for those people who do deep down inside love the truth and who could see some things about themselves, admit some things, see? Those people don't know how to get started. They don't know how to get started. And so that's what the meditation will help them to do. It shows you how to become still. See? How to become still. and how to get out of thinking. See, thinking saves you from God. Thinking saves you from repentance. See, the devil saves you from repentance and claims you for himself. See, and he operates through the unconscious. He operates through the imagination and through thinking. So your thoughts will say, well, meditation, you don't need it, and you're above it, above that sort of thing, and you have other things to do, and maybe someday, and meditation is not for you, it's for other people, and, you know, Roland Trujillo doesn't know anything, and blah, blah, blah. It'll try anything that works. It'll try anything that works, anything to keep you from becoming still and encountering the truth, encountering the inner light from God. See, it doesn't want you to repent. It doesn't want you to be sorry. It doesn't want you to be ashamed, see, and grieve over what you've done. It doesn't want you to. See, it wants you to save face, and it'll help you. And anything will work. Any thoughts of the past or of the future, any doubts, any emotions, any fears. See, the evil can dress up as dancing girls and dance in your daydreams to distract you. See, anything will that it can use that will pull you away. Trivia, see. So now you can see how difficult it is. We're surrounded by, you know, by constant advertisements and music and tease and excitement and flashing lights and electronics and gadgets and, see? And also plenty of alcohol and plenty of drugs and meds and all kinds of things to soothe you and tell you that you're okay and whisk you away from reality. See, whisk you away. So, you see, it takes a special person, see, so it's not for everybody. It takes a very special person. Maybe not a very special person, but it takes a special person who's willing to forego, see, the escapes and go in a room and close the door and sit in a chair and begin to meditate, see, and realize the truth. Okay, so now you can see why mindfulness meditation is good but not good enough. It's good but not good enough. See, most of the meditations from all different kinds of meditations, most of them, it's just another way of taking you away from reality. See, making you feel okay about the way you are. Giving you a false peace apart from God. That's what it does. They give you a false peace apart from God, and they know very well what they're doing. See, they know, of course, there's plenty of dupes and zombies and psychotics and hypnotized ones that go around, and maybe they don't know. They're just hypnotized, and they say it makes them feel better, you know. You know, just like taking an aspirin makes a person feel better, or, you know, smoking marijuana makes a person feel better, but they're not really a better person. They just feel better, see? A person can have something wrong with them and take some pills to take away the pain. They feel better, but they're not really better. In fact, they're worse off because with the pain gone, they think everything's okay, see, when it's not okay, okay? So the same thing with these false spiritual analgesics. They're designed to take you away from an encounter with reality, with the real God. See? But then you have a meditation which is not so bad, you know, like maybe just a mindfulness meditation. It's not so bad. Maybe the person who made it is not trying to whisk you away from God or from reality. In fact, if they're trying to get you to be mindful, then that's good. So it's a positive thing then. They're positive. They want to help you to be mindful, to be in touch with your common sense, with reality, to be in the moment, see? To hear the birds sing in the moment, that's all, so that's good. So I say, well, that's very good. The only thing is, see, there's still something missing. Somehow God is missing, okay? Somehow God is missing. Now, there may be some rare people who can do a mindfulness meditation, and they do so with such a pure heart that, you know, somehow it works for, it trips them over into an objective state where they're closer to God, where they're close to their intuition and in reality and close to God, you see? Just like some people that go to a hypnotist, but instead of being hypnotized, it actually... See, some people go to church, and some people are put to sleep. They're hypnotized by what the preacher says or the Bible verses they hear, but other people are awakened. Other people are awakened, see, to realize, see. But all I'm saying is that the way things are now, with all the distractions and all the things that are cleverly designed to pull you away from reality, it's much more difficult. It's easier to come in touch with new reality if you spend a few weeks out in the countryside, see, a few weeks out in the countryside, close to nature. But even there, you know, you may not, because then your thoughts will whisk you away, see. Your thoughts will whisk you away from reality. So that's why the meditation is so important. A meditation whose intent is to awaken you to reality, see, and is so made that it's compatible with, it has the imprimatur. Remember in the Catholic Church, they put the imprimatur on things, where they say it's basically okay, or in the Jewish world, they say something is kosher. All right, well, what you need is a meditation that has God's imprimatur on it, and it's kosher. See, it's innocent and harmless, and it even has a little capability of bringing you back to the moment, closer to God, and that's what it wants to do. So that would be a good meditation, and that's, Lord willing, see, and pray God, that's what we have for you here at the Center for Common Sense Counseling. Okay? All right. Well, thank you very much. I hope you enjoyed today's lecture on awareness. Don't forget, we do have the meditations. They're very reasonably priced. Some of them are free. See, if you can't afford a meditation, but you'd like one, then just send me an email and I'll send it to you for free. I'll send you the books for free. See, the e-books that go with it. So you can have anything for free if you can't afford it, okay? All right. Thank you very much, and until next time, bye-bye.